Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It With The Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It With The Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
So let's talk about it. We'll have all the Democratic National Convention live updates with, of course, President Joe Biden, who is said his farewell, emotional farewell yesterday, and today we'll see Barack Obama today. Meantime, we had J.D. Vance midday lunchtime here in Philadelphia, as well as Trump was in York, Pennsylvania, so a lot of politics swirling. Other news of the day, in Philadelphia, we have word of two women, this is under investigation, two women who are critically injured this morning after an SUV struck their ATV in Philadelphia last night. Now, I should point out that even though the vehicle, the SUV struck their ATV, it happened after 8:30 last night. And so police are saying this happened at Kensington and Castor Avenues in Philadelphia. What police have said is the SUV driver is fully cooperating, but that in fact this ATV was illegally on the streets, did not have any kind of a light, and there was no way that the SUV could have actually seen it, or it would have been tough to see. So officers called to that scene where both victims, women in their early 20s, were suffering extensive injuries. In fact, one of the women was unconscious. She may not make it. The other woman was screaming and writhing in pain, but they were riding this Honda dirt bike. Again, not street legal, did not have any turn signals, lights, or even a license plate.
Okay, and I just wanted to get clarification because I'm not up to speed on the ATV game, but they are banned on city streets, period, or do you have to have a specialized license to have that on the roads?
Unless you're in a certain area that might allow them and then it's registered and it's proper, there's some hoops you have to jump through.
Okay.
That's none of this.
Okay.
This was... Most of them, to my knowledge, are not street legal.
Okay.
Isn't it odd, too, that women are driving these ATVs?
Oh.
You usually see men doing this.
Yeah.
Is that a sexist take?
No, I think it's an accurate take. Yeah.
Women can have fun, too, Greg. Did you not watch the DNC
last night? Women clearly can't drive, so there's...
Oh, no.
But women can be unburdened by what has been.
Yes.
And, you know, shatter ceilings.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Maybe they're trying to get to Chicago to see the legendary speech.
ATVs for Harris.
We have in Montgomery County, this is in the suburbs of Montgomery County, outside Philadelphia, a Republican leader in Monco is saying that she's facing backlash because she says she publicly has been supporting Kamala Harris for president instead of Trump. And so, in fact, a Republican leader, Matt McCaffrey, now believes his controversial endorsement led to him being targeted in a swatting incident that was last Friday.
How does, I guess you had me at Montgomery County. I can speak first and foremost to that county. But again, I just don't understand how any Republican in their right mind, now I'm assuming he's not a super conservative Republican. He's probably more of the Chris Christie ilk. Just a guess. I have no idea. I've never heard of the guy. Maybe that's my fault. But how do you arrive at the conclusion that you're going to support Kamala Harris? I mean, if you're going to sit it out and not vote for Trump, I mean, I'm not happy with you, but okay. But don't vote for her. Come on.
Well, they released home surveillance images showing McCaffrey surrendering his hands up to Upper Marion police officers as they approached his porch with firearms. It was after midnight. And the police said they did receive information about a possible hostage situation at the home of McCaffrey. Officers responding found no issues at the location, and it's still an active investigation. They're not going to speculate. They don't have a motive. He released a statement saying, quote, "Me and my wife met at the top of the stairs, and I was like, I think we've been swatted."
You think this is staged?
Well, it's my wife and I. It's not me and my wife. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. At least you're consistent.
So
I take some abuse with that. At least you're going to do that in the quotes in the news.
Me and my wife, sir. I'm glad they're okay. But he believes that it was politically motivated. Okay. Although the police are not confirming that at all. They're saying that they are investigating it. And you know, the police are saying that if indeed somebody did this as some kind of a prank, that they took those officers' resources away from other, you know. So if somebody's caught doing this, obviously it's a felony crime.
Right. And oh, by the way, this, according to what you're saying here, this guy comes out with his hands up. What if this guy was shot and it was all a
God
prank,
forbid.
You know?
Yeah.
We can't have resources in Montgomery County diverted away. I mean, the cops need to be, you know, focused for like the latest, you know, Picasso being stolen or something.
Picasso?
Come on.
From the Blue Period.
I will say this. I am sick of the whole swatting concept. It's starting to get on my nerves. Got to be honest.
Yeah, it's...
It's run its course.
We have in New Jersey, Senator Bob Menendez slated to resign by the end of the day today. This about a month after that jury had convicted him, as we reported, on federal bribery charges. So signaling his resignation will come later. I don't have a time. They're not releasing a time frame, but that the official resignation will be will happen today, that he will leave. And then an interim's being appointed. And that is Helmy, who we've talked about, who was Murphy's former chief of staff. Only for about, 11 weeks? And then, obviously, the election will decide who takes the senator spot. Will it be Democrat and current Representative Andy Kim or Republican hotel developer Curtis Bashaw? So they're facing off in the November 5th election.
What do you think the odds are that Bob doesn't have a good stay in the joint? Pretty good, safe, easy pick?
Yeah, I don't know if he... Would he be in...
When does he report to prison? Do we know?
So he's not. I don't think he's reporting today. That's not what's happening today.
Okay,
I'll get to that for you.
We should send Rooney down there to cheer him on if he goes
Rooney.
In.
we have the Jersey Shore losing an icon. Sad news with word that Roy Gillian, the former mayor of Ocean City, New Jersey, founder obviously of Wonderland Pier, which we know now is going to be shutting down for good this fall. He has passed away, and his family releasing a statement about him. But really an icon down the Jersey Shore and obviously in Ocean City. He founded Gillian's Wonderland Pier right there at 6th and Boardwalk back in 1965, which his son is the one who announced its closing at the end of the season. He was 94 years old, Roy Gillian.
Wow. We also lost Phil Donahue yesterday.
Phil Donahue.
See that? 88 years old.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to say something about Phil Donahue because he's remembered for the, you know, that crap that he did on daytime TV. But I would like to say that Phil Donahue was the only public figure, the only talk show host at the time in 2000 and whatever it was, three, who had a nightly show on MSNBC and spoke out against the Iraq War. And MSNBC fired him because he spoke out against the Iraq War.
Wow.
So I would just like to say he was ahead of the curve. He was right. And, you know, you can say what you will about his legacy of schlock TV, but he was way ahead of the curve on that, and he was right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So he shared an opinion that was factually correct, and he got fired for it.
Well, at the time, in 2003, nobody could speak out against the Iraq War. You were unpatriotic.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was widely popular. Congress voted for it. It was. You're right. I think Bernie Sanders ages well on that one. Rand Paul ages well on that one.
WMD.
There were a few people in Congress who, you know, didn't buy it. But he leaves behind Marlo Thomas, his famous wife. I interviewed her back in the day. She had this book, From That Girl to This Woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's very So she had released a statement, a lot of tributes to Phil Donahue, the late Phil Donahue, kind of kicked off that talk show programming that Oprah Winfrey
stole. Going to stay. Wasn't that the battles in the late 80s? He and Oprah?
He invented that type of talk show. Oprah Winfrey, before Phil Donahue, did this very safe, like, oh, let's talk about how you're feeling. And then he came in and shook it up. And was like, okay, let's see here. You're having an affair with you. Let's talk to these people. Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
Springer and Maury.
Yes. Yeah. But he was the originator of that. Phil Donahue was way ahead of the curve on a lot of the things. And I know a lot of people on this, you know, on this station will say, well, he was liberal, he was this, but he was way ahead of the curve on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The difference, I will say, between Phil Donahue or Jerry Springer, Oprah was known for taking it and not being the sensationalist. It wasn't who's the baby daddy. It was more positive energy in the book clubs.
But then she sold right out as soon as as soon as Phil Donahue and all these other ones got in there. She was like, I need to get on that gravy train.
Could Oprah run in 2028? 610.
She had the morals and the clarity of a chimpanzee, but wow. Yeah, sure.
Yeek.
Are we putting Oprah in the same category as France, the Kennedys, and Springsteen?
No, she's an American icon.
She's not.
Yes, she is.
Oh, she's hideous.
Yeah, I don't know about an icon.
Come on, man.
No, the brand Oprah. Is pretty powerful.
All right, let's get to her.
I didn't say she wasn't. I didn't say the brand wasn't powerful. I'm just saying that she's
a hideous human.
No, I don't know her personally, so I can't say that. You know, I'm sure she's a lovely human, but I just don't like her.
Right, there we go. Thank you.
Does Greg Stocker like anyone?
No,
not really.
I barely like you.
And I'm paid to.
Well, you're gonna love the forecast.
Yes.
75 degrees, partly sunny, mostly sunny, a few clouds rolling through, and that's much of the same for today and tomorrow. Thursday, we tick up a little bit to 78 degrees with mostly sunny skies. So really, what a treat we're in for. Friday, we start that warm up, 82 degrees, still remaining sunny. And then the weekend, back into the mid-80s. Saturday, 85, bright sunny skies. Sunday, 87. And then into next week, Monday, we start back into kissing 90, if you will, 89, 90 degrees for the beginning of next week. A lot of schools starting, college move-ins, all of that. So clear skies and wow, what a gorgeous full moon, that bright moon that we, and it's a blue moon. We have a super moon and a blue moon as we kick off the DNC, by the way. We are sponsored by Macy's this morning. Back to school at Macy's. It's all about fresh starts, new looks. Save on must-haves like cargos, mini dresses, jeans, and more that are going to hold up from the first day of school to the last. Plus, you'll find all the top quality brands that you really love. Shop Macy's and make the first day back the best one yet. Check out Macy's.com/back to school today. Thank you, Macy's, for sponsoring Kale and Company News First Edition. And we're looking for our fills, getting her done in Hotlanta in Atlanta, heading to Atlanta for this series against the Braves.
Must see TV tonight.
Oh, so light some candles, say some prayers for our fills. And this is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:16, let's get to a Tuesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning, one down at the DNC, three to go as day one of the DNC in the Windy City has come to a close. Monday was labeled For the People, interesting, as their night one theme. Speakers included Joe Biden and Philly girl Dr. Jill, as well as Hillary Clinton and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. Today it'll be Barack Obama, Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. And there is a stark contrast between the two campaigns for the 2024 presidential election. On the left, you have lunatic fringes like teachers union boss Becky Pringle yesterday afternoon shouting at the DNC incoherently. Listen and watch this clip.
This is what I know. Labor. We're going to win all the things. We're going to win all the things. We're going to win all the things. That's what's going to happen.
Good to know. That, in a nutshell, is what Trump is up against. And do you want that lady teaching your child, once again, shouting, we're going to win all the things? after going to a back-to-school conference yesterday. I certainly would not. And then you have Donald Trump on the other side of the spectrum in Pennsylvania yesterday, speaking in York on topics that really matter. Listen and watch this.
I'm here today to deliver a simple message. When I'm back in the White House, America's future will be built right here in Pennsylvania. And it will be built by American workers like you. It'll be all over the country we'll be building, but Pennsylvania is always a big factor.
A big factor. You have fracking, drill baby drill. It's all about energy prices. Seems simple, also accurate. Pennsylvania is a big factor. Now back to your regularly scheduled left-wing yelling. Listen and watch this clip.
Every family is our family. Every family has an LGBTQ person in it. Just remember that, okay? Be there. Stand with us. Fight for us.
Actually, my family does not, but that was Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey at the DNC LGBTQ caucus. That was a meeting on Monday. The Dems love their segregation. They love to separate you and stick you in a certain box. That was the LGBTQ box. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance here in Philadelphia with a simple, measured, common sense message. Listen and watch this.
The way to destroy the wages of American workers is to import 20 million illegal aliens and let them stay here with work visas.
Seems like a pretty good plan, does it not? That was, in a nutshell, what has been going on for the last 4 years as we struggle while people get brought in illegally and they take up the lower paying jobs. Democrats are catering to the fringe left-wing progressives. I would argue Republicans catering to the masses. We're talking about economy. We're talking about inflation, crime, wars, and the border. Some of us shout like raging Karens to get our message across. Others just lay the facts out, feelings be damned. But that's unfortunately what this election comes down to. See, it's not about the issues. Trump leads on over 60% of the issues, including every single one of the top three. This election is about men v. women. Due diligence versus dopes. It's about paying more, but seeing less mean tweets. All they want to do is sell fear. Meanwhile, Republicans have the solutions to the issues that plague America, but at their own right, they can be their own worst enemy plenty of times. And leading up to Monday night, it was clear that the mainstream media isn't buying the unity of the Democrat Party, which is fascinating because on one hand, they've created this media-driven hype, and that's really what I think it is, over Kamala Harris. Yet, on the other hand, they've pointed out her communist policies, her flip-flopping and copycatting of policies of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance on two or three different issues. But the mainstream media continued to poke holes in the galvanized Democrat Party. Yesterday, Yahoo, Politico, and the New York Times all channeling their inner John Fetterman of truth, if only even for a brief period of time. Yahoo News with this headline, quote, resentful Joe Biden set to snub Barack Obama and Kamala Harris speeches at the DNC. While the Democratic Party leadership is putting on a united public front, Yahoo writes, Joe Biden's simmering resentment over the quiet coup that ended his re-election dreams may be bubbling at the surface. Here was the big guy last night in Chicago late in the evening before he skedaddles on out of the Windy City. Listen and watch this.
Women are not without electrical, not allowed, not without electoral or political power. No kidding.
Now you see why they subverted democracy. Maureen Dowd, columnist for the New York Times, writing that, quote, powerful Democrats pushed President Biden out in a coup, saying, quote, even though it was the right thing to do because Joe Biden was not going to be able to campaign, much less serve as president for another 4 years in a fully vital way, it was a jaw-dropping punch. Dowd goes on to write more, saying, quote, at some point when the polls cratered, Democratic mandarins decided to put the welfare of the party and the country ahead of the president's ego and stop catering to his self-regarding fantasy that he was the only one who could beat Donald Trump, end quote. And speaking of Joe Biden, how convenient that these new details dropped on Monday, lost in the shuffle of the DNC, the day that Biden was set to speak. Listen and watch this breaking news report from Fox News.
This is a Fox News alert. All new this morning, House Republicans finding President Biden and his family received more than $27 million from foreign individuals and entities since 2014. Lawmakers call it an impeachable conduct. Brooke Singman is in Chicago with this story. Brooke, good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, Ainsley. I obtained a copy of this 292-page report from House Republicans. They're on the House Oversight, Judiciary, and Ways and Means Committees, and they've been leading this impeachment inquiry against President Biden for months. So they said their investigation found that President Biden engaged in impeachable conduct and said he abused his office and, quote, defrauded the United States to enrich his family.
Always interesting how revelations become reality once a Democrat is out of office, or it's a formality that they have one foot out the door. Remember the Robert Hur lost transcripts? Suddenly they were found after Kamala Harris took over as the nominee. Now Biden has committed impeachable offenses. Isn't that ironic? Republicans couldn't find milk on a dairy farm until it's too late. But back to the resentment and ill will. I have zero doubts in my mind that the Bidens and the Obamas hate each other. First Joe, then Jill. Per an Axios report, Morning Joe regular contributor Mike Barnicle exploded at a former top Obama White House official that he crossed paths with over the weekend at a Red Sox game at Fenway Park. The official, who remains unnamed, approached Barnicle and said, quote, "Isn't it great that effing guy finally figured out he had to quit?" To which Barnicle replied, "What guy?" The unnamed official said, "Joe Biden." To which Barnicle said, "F you and F all your friends. Put your name on it next time." You thought the Red Sox and Yankees were rivals. Sheesh. And what about Dr. Jill? Reportedly, from the Daily Mail, she had three words for Kamala Harris as the new nominee after subverting democracy and stealing what Joe Biden rightfully won. Remember, he got 95% of the vote in the primary. Those three words: we love you. Donald Trump will have to defeat a female in 2024 if he wants to get back into office. And he's checked that box before. 8 years ago, he rolled the victory in the Electoral College when nobody gave him a chance against Hillary Clinton. Here was the hairdo queen herself last night in Chicago. Listen and watch.
I know her heart and her integrity. We both got our start as young lawyers, helping children who were abused and neglected. That kind of work changes a person. Those kids stay with you. Kamala carries with her the hopes of every child she protected, every family she helped, every community she served. So as president, she will always have our backs. And she will be a fighter for us. She will fight to lower costs for hardworking families, open the doors wide for good-paying jobs, and yes, she will restore abortion rights nationwide.
8 years later, you can still see that Hillary is seething. But don't forget, folks, as she said, Kamala's got your back. She's had your back for the last 3 years and 10 months. What has that gotten you? It is the bane, by the way, for Hillary Clinton, the bane of her political existence, losing to Donald Trump. But Chicago also has a large African-American population, as does many major market cities that Democrats cater to. Want to pass along this polling note, which I thought was interesting. According to Rasmussen, Donald Trump is polling at 29% with black voters. I've said 20% seems about right. He was at 6% in 16, 12% in 2020. I think at a minimum this year, he gets to 18%. If he gets to 25%, he wins the election, especially if he's north of 40% with the Jewish vote. So there you have it. The DNC last night, all the uppity up, biggity big indignitaries spewing their nonsense. We'll break it down as we continue this morning. From city to city, state to state, nationwide, there you had it last night, the DNC. But just keep this in mind, 3 days left. Just 3 days left for the honeymoon. Then I believe reality returns. because Kamala Harris can run, but she can't hide. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, we have a lot to discuss from last night's everlasting festivities that went well into the wee hours of Tuesday morning, and we will break it all down and take your thoughts and reaction if you stayed up to watch it. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. Let us hear your opinions on the YouTube chat. And oh, by the way, don't forget the voicemail feature. Just download the Odyssey app, tap that little microphone next to Listen Live when you're streaming us on 1210, and tell us what is on your mind. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, it is Kale and Company on a Tuesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
So much to react to from last night, and it's mostly shredding of the Democrats. I have one beef with conservatives from last night, especially what I saw earlier in the day on social media, which is why I stayed off of Twitter, because it's just, I'm tired of seeing the nonsense. But we got to rip Joe right off the top right here, because first of all, you're going to wait to send him out. And if people were actually waiting to watch, like, you know, people that actually have to do a show, you had to wait till damn near midnight. New York Post with a headline saying, past his bedtime, is the front page of the New York Post. Picture of Joe, like, yelling, his jaw all clenched up. Dems deliver final insult by pushing Biden's angry, bitter speech to midnight. I just never want to hear any more about Trump's lies, because in Joe's, let's think about this, right? Joe's got about 4.5 months left. This was probably one of the two or three most visible moments that he'll have left in his tenure as president. And he spewed all of the debunked lies and falsehoods in his speech. Again, it's like Weekend at Bernie's with this guy. He gave us the bloodbath comment. He gave us the Charlottesville nonsense, the suckers and losers comment. And then, of course, on top of it, decides to, when he does address the border, he blames it on not his border czar, not on Alejandro Mayorkas, but he blames it on Donald Trump. And I thought it was interesting last night, because we knew going into it, we would see Joe, we would see Dr. Jill. And then we got some surprises, right? Kamala Harris makes a surprise appearance. Steve Kerr, the NBA head coach for the Golden State Warriors, comes out, spews all of his left-wing talking points. Still never says a word about China, but he, you know, he just shuts up and dribbles when it comes to that. Hunter Biden emerged late in the evening. AOC was jumping around like a contestant on The Price is Right after she just named the price of the car. Of all the squad Dems, it's actually, I despise her the least, because she's such a cartoon character at this point.
She was good, though.
Can I say something, though?
You think so?
The one thing that I will say about AOC, and Phil, sorry for the heads up, or not giving you the heads up on this, she must have had the same sentence in her teleprompter twice, because she said it. Phil, if you can pull up cut 29 here, this was hysterical, because she's young, she's vibrant, she's off the cuff, except when the teleprompter crashes. Cut 29, Phil, go.
Cortez takes the stage next.
She gets all reclamped over all the AOC chants.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chicago, for your energy. Thank you, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, for your vision.
You already said that. You lost the place.
It's amazing.
It's so
thank
brutal.
You, Chicago. Thank you.
And then Kathy Hochul delivered this god-awful speech of Donald Trump doesn't come to New York too often, but when he does, it's for sentencing of felonies and all this other nonsense. Well, she just looks like an evil monster. She sounds miserable.
But they don't think that.
No.
Clearly, they put a ton of women. You saw a lot of women. And it struck me that they had... They were really introducing you to Kamala Harris as if you had no idea who she was before.
Which is crazy, because that's what Stocker's been saying, that a lot of Americans probably don't know anything about her.
But it was good. I mean, the childhood friend and the mom with the Mustang, and she still has that Mustang. I mean, there were some they did a good job of showing her childhood pictures, and when Kamala was like 5 or 6 years old. She stuck up for somebody. And I thought, wow, you would not even know that this individual is actually the vice president of the United States mm-hmm. of America. And they want that. I mean, yeah. They really, even in all of their speeches and even the UAW president getting up there, you know, talking about Trump, I'm like, Trump hasn't been in office nearly 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to blame union jobs and whatnot, who's in office? They want you to forget all of that.
It's just so, and look, you know, I get it. It's their 4 days. Republicans, they had their 4 days. And I'm trying to look at it as objectively as I can. But there was no doubt, too, in my opinion, that whatever Biden was on again last night, he was not on June 27th in Atlanta. Again, go back and watch Joe last night. Forget the slurring and the stuttering and the stammering, but the energy level that he had was the same way he addressed the State of the Union speeches yeah. and other nighttime prime events. And then you go back to June 27th, when the writing on the wall became legible to everybody that he was done. He was a totally different guy. He was a low energy zombie. And I know he said, well, I was a little under the weather. I had a cold. I don't know. And again, it's allegations. It's just speculation. You know, there's no confirmation of it. But whatever they're popping up Joe with, they didn't give to him on June 27th. I just don't know that that was a cold. And then the other facade I got to point out, the whole We Love Joe signs, especially Nancy Pelosi at 84 years old. I mean, we know what Nancy Pelosi did. Her, Schumer, Obama, they put the shotgun up to Joe's head and said, look, either you go out or we're taking you out. You're done after June 27th. So, and I understand that politics are all nonsense. I get it. It's all a facade. It's all theater. You're naive if you believe otherwise. But, I mean, it's just so insulting to anybody that's actually spent 5 minutes reading into the forced coup of Joe Biden. And it sounds like I'm defending him, but I'm actually kind of defending democracy here, because 95% of people, for whatever unbeknownst reason to me, decided to vote for Joe in the primary. And the Democrats said on June 27th, holy crap, we are probably going to lose to Donald Trump after that debate. And they forced him out. So he had earned the right to run for re-election again. If we're talking about protecting democracy, let's be fair and let's be consistent with it. So they've tried to take Trump off the ballots, and then they kick Biden to the curb. And I got to sit here and see signs of We Love Joe? No, you don't. Nancy Pelosi body bagged him. She don't love Joe. She's a political animal. Once he was of no use to her, he just ditched her. She just threw him into the schuckle. It is such a, like, and I get it. Both sides lie. Both sides are full of crap. But Nancy Pelosi and these political career swamp savages, they have no soul, Dawn. Greg, they have no moral fiber.
Yeah.
Understand, though, like, for Joe Biden, first of all, you know, 52-minute speech, there were some ad-libs in there because I've been looking through that. I think that what everybody's playing this morning, and that's what I was trying to look at this morning, because I did stay up for it because I thought, what am I going to get up at 2 and just watch it? So I would say...
That's what I did.
You got up at 2. Well, no. I'm up at 3 anyway, yeah. But I thought, well, I might as well just stay up. Yeah, right. I'm not going to get any sleep either way I look at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we never do. But to me, I think that it's important to note, I mean, Nick, you were out, you were at a back-to-school meeting. A lot of people are back-to-school shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So what are people doing? Did people really sit and watch a convention like we have to? No. And so they're seeing the highlights. What are the highlights? The end of the speech, which indeed was very good. The final part of that 52-minute speech with a lot of ad-libs. That's what people are seeing, like, aw. But it was at points, he was just angry Joe Biden. He was, like, yelling.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's playing that today.
Let me play a little bit of the speech last night. This is what you were talking about. He says, I love my job, but I love my country more. This is where he, quote unquote, passes the torch. Oh, God. I said it yesterday, and it's true. I just love people's misery. I'm a sick SOB.
Mm-hmm.
Cut 24, Phil. Go.
Folks, I've got 5 months left in my presidency. I've got a lot to do.
They have a split,
I intend to get it done.
They have a split screen if you're watching
mm-hmm.
with Kamala.
Yeah.
Who's sitting up there like a queen. Like, yep. Out of the way, old man!
In the honor of my lifetime.
I used you.
To serve as your president. I love the job, but I love my country more.
my country more. And all this talk about how I'm angry at all those people who said I should step down. That's not true.
This was an ad lib.
Yeah. Notice the time, too, on the Chiron. 12:07 a.m.
Yeah.
I love my country more, and we need to preserve our democracy. In 2024, we need you to vote. We need you to keep the Senate. We need you to win back the House of Representatives. And above all, we need you to beat Donald Trump. And elect Kamala and Tim. President and Vice President of the United States of America. Look.
There you go.
God, Tim Walz just looks like a spud, doesn't he? You know, I threw out that question of who does Hillary hate more, Bill, Trump, or Kamala. Honestly, at this point, who do you think hates Kamala more, Joe or Hillary? Because as you said, you know, Kamala's got the chance to do what Hillary couldn't, and Joe, and I heard Dr. Jill's speech last night as she got up there.
My wife's a Philly girl.
Yes, we know she's a Philly girl, Joe. And, you know, she said it was just one of the most, and I'm paraphrasing here, one of the most grueling, agonizing decisions that her husband has ever had to make in her life. And let's just assume and take her at face value that it was his decision, and he could have stayed in if he wanted to and flipped the proverbial bird to, you know, Obama, Schumer, and Pelosi. I actually do genuinely, for whatever coherent cognitive abilities Joe has left to make a decision, whether that's sugar cone or waffle cone or stay in the race or get out of the race, I do think it was probably an unbelievably difficult decision for him. I mean, you think this is a guy who spent 51 years in office in the public sector, who finally gets to the mountaintop at 77 or 78 years old. And, you know, he's been coming out. I mentioned it in the big take of, you know, he believes he's the only one that can beat Donald Trump. I don't know that that's necessarily true or the case, but he probably, behind closed doors, was probably a really tough decision for him from an ego standpoint, right? Like, this guy doesn't want to just tap out, despite that he is one of the worst presidents probably in the history of presidents, certainly in my lifetime, because I wasn't alive to see Jimmy Carter in action in the late 70s. So I believe Jill on that front. But what's just so nauseating to me is the whole concept of the love affair and words like joy and fun. I mean, these are two, because they're forever linked, right? Biden and Harris are forever a pair. They're joined at the hip. So Joe's failures are Kamala's failures. She can rebrand, repackage all she wants. She'll always be connected to Joe. His favorability rating is incredibly low. He was in the high 30%, wasn't it? I think he was as low as 38%, and that's approval rating. And then you look at net favorability rating. She actually has polled lower than he has. Yet we're told we love Joe, and now Kamala Harris goes from the worst vice president of all time to the savior of the universe. That is the power of the machine here. And if you watched any of the DNC last night, and maybe you vomited a little bit on your t-shirt or your pajama tops, get ready, because it's only going to get worse. If you thought last night was tough to sit through, if you sat through it for whatever reason, work or just sheer entertainment or political curiosity, can you imagine what it's going to be like tonight when the savior from the heavens floats down from the sky above and Obama delivers that speech tonight? You think the mainstream media is going to yuck up anything today on Morning Joe and everything else? Just imagine what it's going to be like Wednesday morning after Obama comes out tonight. And I'd like to know what time that's going to be. Because I can't, and this is my last takeaway. Dawn, I can't do these 11:50 speeches anymore. I can't. I can't stay up for Sunday night football, much less Joe Biden. I mean, the hell with it. We have to stop placating to the West Coast. This is a consumer rant here. Enough of the 9 o'clocks and the 10:15s. Get these people out at 7:30. This thing should have wrapped up by 10 p.m. last night. We don't need to be going to 12:07 a.m. or whatever was on that.
It's probably what Joe Biden was saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Right?
The fact that he got in and they made him sit there and wait and wait.
Painful.
As far as even the New York Times this morning has this whole, I'll give them credit, fact-checking all of the... I mean, there were some crazy claims last night.
Yes, there was.
And it's amazing to me. You know, CNN just let it roll. They didn't fact-check or do anything. They just aired the convention. You know, but they're always the other.
The Washington Post fact checked it,
and the New York Times did too.
That's early this morning. Yeah,
yeah.
Good.
So to their credit, I mean, they did. They called out. They went through all of the claims. I mean, the crazy claims about Trump that he wants to cut Social Security and Medicare, which is not true. They looked at the obsession with Project 2025. The New York Times, WaPo, they both called that out and said it is a conservative think tank. Trump has not endorsed it. In fact, has, you know, distanced himself and said it's not him, etc. The J.D. Vance claims that he wants violent marriage, like all that stuff. To their credit, and I always want to give credit where credit's due, the New York Times, Washington Post, others did fact check and did say those were false.
But did Rachel Maddow interrupt the speech and say we're going to bail out of this because we owe it to our audience not to air lies and falsehoods? Because that's all Joe regurgitated. Every single debunked one, from Bloodbath to Good and Fine People, from Charlottesville on down the list. It was just a complete copy and paste job of the last 3 years and 9 months, which actually, speaking of copy and paste jobs, how embarrassing is this for the DNC? This was yesterday in the afternoon as the festivities were getting underway. The official DNC platform, or let's, for those that might not understand it, let's call it like a program. You know, you show up at the football game, you get the program, and you can see everybody's starting lineup, all the sponsors, height, weight of all the players. So the official DNC platform / program was published, and it was released and made 21 mentions of Joe Biden's second term. In the program, they had 30 days to, and you can see it right here. This is courtesy of Greg Price on Twitter. Phil's got it up on YouTube. It says, and Phil, leave this up as I'm reading this. It says, in President Biden's second term, he will push Congress to blah, 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 blah. During President Biden's second term, Democrats will continue to advocate for blah, 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 blah. In President Biden's second term, he will continue selecting judges, blah, 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 blah. They couldn't even take out President Biden's second term and insert Kamala Harris's first term.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Yep.
That is a bad look. So you know that behind the scenes, this thing is an unmitigated S show.
Yeah.
And I think they can try to project unity and strength and cohesion and all this stuff. I do not believe that that is going on behind the scenes. I think they are in disarray. And Dawn, you always say, eventually in the 23rd hour, Democrats get it together and rally. I think maybe publicly they're doing that, but you can't convince anybody with an objective mind that they are united behind the closed doors.
But you got to give them credit. I don't think we've ever seen a pivot like this one. Think about when there was an assassination attempt against Trump. I mean, that was just July 13th.
Mm-hmm.
The debate, what was that, June 27th?
7 weeks ago.
I mean, and everybody thought, oh, it's over with. It's done. And Trump was surging in the polls. The fact that they have pivoted like this, come together, bye-bye, Joe. And by the way, Joe said last night, I will be the greatest volunteer. I think that he's going on vacation to, I believe, California, where he'll be at least a week. I don't think we'll see Joe Biden. I don't think that he will be they don't want him anywhere near any of this. And the Democrats want you to believe that this is all shiny and new.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes Kamala, and she's the big answer. And by the way, think about Gaza. He did ad lib that moment last night when he talked about, and the people outside protesting or something to that effect. They do have a point too. Overnight, Israel securing the bodies of about 9 of these hostages overnight, Biden ad-libbing that line. How does that play with Jewish voters?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, and nowhere did they acknowledge the protests. They did have some protesters break through one of the barriers, but not through the because they have so many walls.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. There's more walls in Chicago than there is in Arizona and Texas combined.
Whew.
I saw that video, but I wasn't sure if that was from Chicago or if it was like a fake from another city. But I did see them come through the first layer of fencing. But
it was not like the inner perimeter.
Yeah, but nowadays with social media, I have no idea if that's from Chicago or if that's from 2 years ago in, you know, Timbuktu, with people posting a bunch of fake stuff. One thing that's not fake is Kamala Harris's website, by the way. If you want to work or volunteer, there's on her website, you'll see her bio. You'll see a button where you can click to donate. Still no policy section. But did you know for Kamala Harris, you do need to have the COVID vaccine and all the updated boosters if you would like to work for her.
Well, because there's a surge.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that moving forward. COVID surge.
The vax mandate.
It's a back-to-school COVID surge. Yeah. It's in the news this morning.
Election year surge.
Yeah.
Between that and monkeypox, we'll be remote in 6 weeks. We'll see if my internet works at home. I'm going to get my microphone set up just in case. All right. We got a lot to get to coming up in hour two. Dawn will have some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. Cut sheet will be absolutely loaded from all of the speeches at the DNC last night. But what about Donald Trump and what about J.D. Vance? Specifically, controversy in South Philadelphia with
amazing.
J.D.
This is amazing.
Over his food orders.
This is amazing.
I love this.
I love this story.
I love his sense of humor.
Probably the best story of the day.
Yeah.
Definitely is.
100%.
Gail and Company Hour 2 is next.
You know, I still have them. I'm still a minivan mom. I covet when I see some of these high-end, these luxury vehicles, you know, Mercedes or Land Rover, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo. I see some of these beautiful, sleek, powerful vehicles on the roadways. And I lust for the day when I trade in the minivan and I think, I can't wait. Someday I want to drive one of those luxury vehicles. It really brings me to my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. They're going to help you find that luxury vehicle that you've been eyeing. Maybe you're that empty nester. And you think, I've earned this. The kids are not going to leave the, I don't know, PBJ sandwich. I found a banana, like a banana peel, half-eaten banana under the car mat in the back the other day in the stinky football gear. So maybe you're beyond those days and you want something for you. You've earned it. You deserve it. Now go get it with a little help from my friends at Piazza. They have thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles from some of these beautiful brands that I've talked about, including Alfa Romeo, Porsche, BMW, Maserati, Jaguar, Mercedes-Benz. Just visit them at PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. I'm so excited. I know our own Michael Steinberg has set me up to do some test drives. So I've never driven any one of these vehicles in my life. I can't wait. I think next week we're going to do this. I know Nick Cale has been able to drive some of them and still raves about it, so I can't wait. You can also stop by one of their Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey dealers, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.